Okay.
So the for in
Yeah.
today's share, usually I have a topic I'm teaching, and then it's Brooklyn. If you hear the sirens back and forth, it's New York. So nothing special happening. Just one joke for the beginning, sort of. Not a joke. And when I landed on Thursday, I mean, it's not on Thursday, but Friday morning when I got to New York, there was a big earthquake. You might have heard of the first earthquake in 140 years,
You know
and
what?
the
I didn't even, it wasn't in the newspaper here. My wife told me there was an earthquake in New York. So I went looking. I didn't hear anything. It wasn't even in the newspaper. Maybe in New York it was, but not in Toronto.
first time in 140 years, but the center of the earthquake was Lebanon, New Jersey. That was that, Lebanon, New Jersey. So I realized what happened. People in Israel were praying for God to help them and strike Lebanon before they strike us. So Lebanon, and they didn't tell which Lebanon. So God said, Lebanon, okay, hit Lebanon. And didn't realize what country, you know, he remembered there was something about America, something like that. So poor Lebanon, New Jersey got caught in the mix up.
Your jokes are always great when they're nice and subtle. I'm not sure you're a great joke teller as a joke, but your subtle jokes are wonderful.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
Okay, you can start. I should probably restart the recording now. Okay. Okay. So, anyway, what I was telling you is that usually we have a topic, and I support or prove my topic from Sukkim. Today we do the opposite. We're simply going to learn Chumash. We're going to learn Chumash in order, and we'll develop a theme from Chumash. But instead of starting with a topic and proving from a pasuk, I'm going to work the normal way we're supposed to learn. We're going to read Sukkim and then see what the Pesukim have to say. Understand the difference? That's why I didn't. I have a source sheet summarizing everything, but the Pesukim we just need a Tanakh for. So I'll share my source sheet and show you what we're doing. Where are we? I got to find. Here we go. Should be this one. Okay. The Torah rings for Chag HaMatzot. Wait, I didn't share my screen, did I? But here we are. Share screen. This one. Here we are. Okay, this is part one for Torah rings for Chag HaMatzot, and we can have this week. Next week we have a special program. The week after Erev Pesach we'll have one, and I'm not sure about Chol HaMoed. But so today we're going to talk about Shemot chapters 12 and 13. I'm not sure how far we'll get. I'm hoping to get to Zot Chukat HaPasach, where it belongs. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. So in my introduction, Pesach's only 2 weeks away, and we're gonna take a two-part series to understand the Torah readings before Pesach and maybe over Pesach as well. So chapter 12, I'm going to divide it up into units. But in chapter 12, we have as follows. I call what we read yesterday in what's called Parshat HaChodesh was 20 psukim. In those 20 psukim, we have a commandment to the leadership of Israel to start counting the months from Nisan, HaChodesh HaSelechem. But that's not the first mitzvah for Am Yisrael. That's put it this way. It's the first mitzvah for the people of Israel, capital P, but it's not the first mitzvah for the people of Israel, small p. I hope I have my grammar right. A people, a nation, capital P, that's a law for a nation. People, small p, like the people on the bus, those are individual people. The first mitzvah the people get, because they don't decide when Rosh Chodesh is, that's for the leadership, that's for the nation. But the people themselves, the first mitzvah they get is Pesach Mitzrayim, which I call to make the first Shabbos meal, or the first family, to make a family meal, invite people, make sure there's enough food, have conversation, etc. We'll discuss that a little bit in detail. So the mitzvah for Am Yisrael to make the laws of what's called Pesach Mitzrayim, to prepare the people to have a special meal, a thematic meal, on the night of Makat Bechorot, and do something to show God you're worthy of redemption, that's going to be, that commandment will be in verses 3 to 13. Then there'll be a transition pasuk to remember this day forever, which will be a little complicated what's it referring to. And then out of nowhere, the last five psukim, there's a commandment to keep matzah, a holiday called Chag HaMatzot for 7 days, to keep matzah and not have chametz. And at first glance, it doesn't make sense what it's doing here, because these laws are to remember the Exodus, and we haven't left Egypt yet. It's 2 weeks before we left Egypt. And the question we have to discuss is what's it doing out of place? Now, that's God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what we read on Shabbos this week. Then something's wrong with my mouse. My screen's not. Oh, here it is. Okay. There we go. Then Moshe has to relay this to the people. And when Moshe relays this to the people, the first three psukim, and this is the Torah reading for the first day of Chag HaMatzot, We start in Pasach Vav, it's called Mishkol. Moshe tells the people about what they need to do for Pesach Mitzrayim. And then he tells them also about Pesach Dorot. So we'll see. And then we have the story of the Exodus. And that's the reading for, no, it's what we read yesterday. Parshat HaChodesh was this, the first 20 Pesukim. And on the first day of Yom Tov, we're going to read, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to read the story of the Exodus, which is over here. Okay. Which is, to 42. And then the next day we read about Sefirat Omer, right? We read Emor, I think, the next day, if I'm not mistaken. Now, then we're going to have another time. We're going to read Zot Kol Ketav Pasach. I'm pretty sure I have to check whether that's first day or whether that's second day or later during Chol HaMoed. We'll get there today. And then we have Kaddish Likol B'chor, which is in our tefillin, and the laws of Chag HaMatzot again, Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's going to be chapter 13. That's another day of Yom Tov. And then, so that's the outline of what we're going to cover today, chapters 12 and 13. Now, because we're familiar, we read on Shabbat, Parshat HaChodesh, I'll just review it quickly. Pesach Mitzrayim, I'm going to refer to it as a family meal. It has elements of a korban, but also of a family meal. Actually, I should, let me unshare my screen for a minute, because I'd rather discuss this a little bit. I want to see people's faces for a second. There's two ways to look at the Pesach in Egypt. As a korban, some people even call it korban Pesach, even though Chumash never calls it korban Pesach. Remember the word korban we don't have until Sefer Vayikra. But what is korban Pesach called? Anyone remember? What was korban Pesach called in Egypt?
Zevach Pesach?
It's called Zevach Pesach. It's a Zevach Pesach. Yeah. And it has another word which is really interesting. You probably didn't notice. But when we talk about a Pesach, to doing the Pesach for future generations, you know what it's called? No one has any idea, correct?
Avodah?
Ah, very good. Who thought? Who knew that?
Dara.
So very good. Almost no one notices that. Isn't that neat that we call this the Avodah? We call Pesach an Avodah? Now, is Avodah the name for Korbanot as well? Some people have a custom in davening after Shema Koleinu at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. They ask God, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, Bamcha Yisro uvitfilatam shei, Vashevet Avodah litver betecha, Vishei Yisro tfilatam. Now, what's Avodah? Is Avodah bringing Korbanot? Or is it Torah of Avodah working for a living? Or is Avodah being an Eved Hashem? If I have time, we'll talk about the word Avodah inside a lot, but the word Avodah is like really important. But it's interesting that it's the only thing I remember in Chumash where the actual Korban is called an Avodah. Remember Maha Avodah Zot Lechem? We'll see that later in what's going on. At least from the kids' point of view, it's called an Avodah. So that's the what was I telling you? So that's going to be the section where we're going to read on the first day of Yom Tov. And what I wanted to show with you, the Pesach itself, the one in Egypt, who can tell me why it's not a korban? Besides the fact it's not called a korban. What's missing for it to be a korban? What does every other korban have that this one doesn't have?
Mizbeach.
It doesn't have an altar. And what else doesn't it have?
Kohanim.
It's a korban for God.
Kohanim to carry it out.
Something has to go to God. What does God get? God gets nothing. Not the blood, not the fat, nothing. Understand? The animal, we eat the whole animal. Now, could you eat the chelev or not? Didn't say anything about that. I don't know what the laws of kashrut yet beforehand. You couldn't eat every minachai from it. But you sprinkled the blood. I'm assuming they didn't eat the blood or the chelev, but it didn't say anything about that. But the main thing is you sprinkle the blood. That's similar to korban, but not a mizbech on your home.
And there's no kohanim.
There's no kohanim yet, that's for sure. People do it on their own. Everyone's at it's before Har Sinai. We're not a nation. We're preparing ourselves for nationhood, but we're not a nation yet. But what a lot of people want to say is that our home is the mizbech. Because wherever you sprinkle the blood is a mizbech. And that's why we have salt on our table at home and things like that. Also, it's an animal without a mum, you know, with a set tamim. I'm sorry, it's a set tamim. It's like a perfect one, a good animal, like a korban. And no leftovers. That's also the din of like pigul, like no leftovers. But then say if you have leftovers, you're chayav karet. It just says don't leave it over for the morning. It doesn't give a punishment if you do. So there's elements of a korban. I want to flip it around. I want to say that
Washington,
this is primarily building a Jew. Yeah, Sophie, go ahead. Sophie, you had a question? I guess not. My point is, I think the focal point of Pesach Mitzrayim is the Jewish home. The big word is bayit. Remember? Sela beit abad, sela bayit v'ma bayit. I'm building a Jewish home. And later, when I go visit the temple, I'm taking my home and moving it to the temple to bring the temple back to my home. Now, what I want to claim is our Mizbeach is going to remind us of our home and not the other way around. It's not that our home on Pesach is a Mizbeach. It's that the Korban, the Kasek Avodah, is the family, the Shabbos meal. Hope you understand my point. It's sitting together with a meal planned out. Let me explain to you why I'm calling it the first Shabbos meal. Planning ahead of time, even 2 weeks ahead of time. Inviting people. Make sure there's enough food for everybody. No leftovers. The people eat to their heart's content. And nicely. Coming properly dressed. Not just meat, also with bread and with salad. Sitting down to proper meal with time. And that leads to conversation before there were cell phones. As people actually sat down, when you sit down to a meal, it's well prepared with enough courses and properly set up. And people are invited and come properly dressed, lechem chagurim, lechem brag lechem, etc. That will lead to conversation, and the conversation is going to lead to
exploring the
thing. Rabbi, okay. Hopefully that conversation will lead to talking about a better future. Like this year in slavery, next year being free, this year outside land of Israel, hopefully next year being there, like we say in Halach Manya. So that's my first point about Pesach Mitzrayim. The idea, if I'm going to start a nation, the nation begins with the home and then community and teaching children and having a family conversation. And that idea of a Shabbos meal, which we keep, like our seders nowadays are much more similar to the original seder in Egypt than to the seder in the time of the Mikdash, when people
when
came to Yerushalayim.
The home, a Mizbeah, as you say, we echo that when we make when we light the candles on Hanukkah, moving the menorah from the house.
We take the menorah. Now the question is the menorah? It turns out that we have a menorah on Hanukkah, but that's almost the original custom. I think was simply at one candle, not a menorah. It was one candle for family and the one person. It turned into a menorah because of the custom to add a candle every night. So it has what's called a Chanukiah, but it's not the seven. It's not the seven branch menorah that we have in.
But the mitzvah is lahalot ner.
Yeah,
that's only a single candle, yeah. So that's all.
But
right.
Again, that's something later. I'm asking why the rabbis instituted the commandment of Hanukkah forever. It might relate for sure to the Mikdash and the whole focus of the menorah and the miracle of Hanukkah. That's for sure. But that's the historical thing how Hanukkah came about. So I want to go back now to our laning. So let's take a look now in Perek Yud Bet. I want to show you everything we just talked about. I'm going to share my screen and open up hope I got this right. And we're going to open up a Tanakh. Tanakh, I'll do an English Hebrew one. Where's my English Hebrew one? There we are. Exodus chapter 12. Okay, again, we're skipping the first two psukim because we're familiar with that. That's for Am Yisrael. God tells, speak to the people of Israel on the 10th of the month. Take a say, lebeit avad sela bayit. Remember the word bayit? And everyone has to, we have to invite people. Set tamim, that sounds a bit like a korban. Zachar ben Shana. And from Kfasim and Izim, it's like a korban, but again, it's also like a meal. Having it ready to the 14th of the month, and the 14th of the month, shechting it, everyone together. Now, sprinkling the blood on the doorpost. Again, that's going to be a sign that will save us later on from Makat Bechorot. Eating the meat that evening. Well done, Sli'esh, with matzah and maror. Now, ask any child, why do we eat matzah on Pesach, what answer will they give you? What's the classic reason to remember what?
Didn't have time for the dough to rise.
Right, exactly. Why can't that be the reason for matzah with Pesach in Egypt?
You've got 2 weeks to make it.
That's right.
To prepare.
And no one's rushed out yet. And when they get the commandment, they're never told we're leaving Egypt that night. In Parshat Chodesh, it never says we're leaving Egypt that night. Keep that in mind. If your children ask you, why do we do Pesach every year? It's not to remember that God took us out of Egypt. It's to remember that God saved us from Makat Bechorot. That's why it's called Passover. Because we remember that God passed over our homes and didn't kill the firstborn. But even if we didn't leave Egypt that night, we'd still have Pesach. Now, it turns out that we left Egypt that night. But people don't pay attention to is Pesach is a separate holiday that stands alone, thanking God for being saved from Makat Bechorot. We'll prove it in a minute. Now, then the question is, why are we eating matzah with the Pesach? We'll leave it right now as a question. It could be God knows the future, but there must be a reason. Now, some people want to say...
Fox News, I have to say, repeatedly clarifying what he was saying. And we can debate whether Verben or Amos goes too far.
Okay, Jay, you'll take care of that? Okay, sorry. What I was telling you is that the idea of matzah might relate to the Mikdash again, because there's also a law we've been reading Sefer Vayikra the last couple of weeks, that in the Mikdash, you don't bring chametz to the Mikdash. So some people want to say, this is a proof, it's a korban again, and it's a din and kachim that we don't bring, or the korban doesn't come with, the lechem with the korban has to be matzah, not chametz. On the other hand, a korban todah does come with chametz, because it doesn't go on the mizbeach. So that can go either way. We're going to suggest something totally different in a little while, but I need something else to explain why. Now, let's go back now to the psukim and see what happens. But I'm going to leave as a question, why do we have to eat matzah with the zevach? I'm sorry, I didn't want my source sheet. I wanted a chumash. Here we go. Open up the chumash. Here we are. Now, having it properly cooked, that makes sense, not to eat it raw. No leftovers to make sure people eat to the heart's content. And anything left over has to be burnt. That makes sure you won't leave things over. How do you eat it? Well dressed. Now, a lot of people think that's there because we're at night.
President Trump did his president. Seven presidents promised to
Sorry about that.
President Trump was the only one. President Trump signed.
Right. We have an interruption there. We'll try to get over that. Anyway, so how do we eat it?
It won't happen again. I fixed it.
Okay, thanks, Rabbi. How do we have to eat it? Already dressed with your... Now, is malkechem braglechem b'yadchem, is that your walking sticks? It's often understood that way. Or it could be, why is a person having a makel? We're not sure. But what I want to claim is, it didn't say we're doing this because we are leaving. It could be symbolic, we're about to leave Egypt. We're hoping to leave Egypt, or it could be we're simply coming properly dressed. Come properly dressed with your suit, with your shoes and everything. Okay? And I don't think you have to eat it quickly because we're leaving. I'll prove now. It can't be because we're leaving Egypt right away, because Moshe is going to tell the people, everyone stay home all night long till morning. We're not in a rush to eat it. I think chipazon means eat it with readiness and eagerness. Be excited about it, but not to eat it as fast as possible to get it over with. It's eat it with eagerness and readiness. And this is called a Pesach for Hashem. Now, what's going to happen? I'm going to come Egypt that night and kill every firstborn. And then this blood on the doorpost will be a sign to God to see that this nation, this family was following mitzvot and is worthy of being saved. And the Negev won't hit your house. You won't be smitten. Now, that's Pesach Mitzrayim. Look at Pasuk Yedaleh.
Rabbi Liebtag?
Yeah, sure.
Was the meal meant to be an anxiety meal, like the chipazon, or just eager and...
Oh, so you mentioned anxiety. When people are worried about something terrible is about to happen or might happen, it's happening too often in Israel, what people tend to do is eat. You aware of that? When people are worried or waiting for things to happen or thing, one of the best therapies is eating, isn't it? It's called snacking and things like that. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. In my opinion, we're sitting down to a meal simply to be what's called B'nai Chorin, to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. The hope is we're going to sit down to a family meal and people will talk about what's about to happen. Now, they don't know exactly what's about to happen, but they know they're going to get out of slavery and God's going to hear their cry and punish their oppressor. How soon it's going to happen, we'll talk about soon. Mm-hmm. Now, this transition pasuk, pasuk Yedal, can go either way. This day, which day, will be a day to remember and celebrate it, this achag to God, every year, for all generations, chukat olam tachugu. That's forever, this, the anniversary of this event is going to be an eternal celebration. Now, what day is this referring to? Imshat, what's Hayom Hazeh? Who can give me different possibilities? What day could this possibly be referring to?
The 14th. Yudalid.
It could be Yudalid, the day that what? The day that we shech the Korban Pesach. Or the Pesach, okay? What else could it be?
Tesvav.
It could be the day we leave Egypt, but we didn't hear about leaving Egypt yet. What makes the most sense?
The night.
The 15th of Nisan.
No, how about, why not Rosh Chodesh itself? Because God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh. It's, this day is Rosh Chodesh. Remember, Achodesh said lechem Rosh Chodeshim. On the 10th, take this. But this day, the first day of the month of Nisan, in my Seder last year, someone talked about that. Did they talk about it last year, your Seder?
But v'chagotem oto chag l'Hashem?
Yeah, why not on Rosh Chodesh? It's day. It's that's the day that that's the day that God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, let me give you a little spoiler, okay? Let's go to chapter 13. Sorry about that. One second. When Moshe tells these laws to Bnei Yisrael later on, remember this day. Remember this day that God you're coming out of Egypt, okay? And you're leaving. Hayom atem yitzim b'chodesh aviv. You're living in the spring. And when God brings you out of Egypt, right? And God brings you to the land of Israel, as He promised you, va'avadta et avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh. Do this avodah in this month. In what month? In the month of Nisan. There's no date here, is there? Eat matzah for 7 days, and the 7th day have a chag. There's no date here in chapter 13. So maybe it could be that celebrate it on Rosh Chodesh. Remember your Seder Yochum in Rosh Chodesh? We're only going to learn that we do this on the 15th or the 14th from what? From Vigat Levincha Bayomahu Lemor Bavur Zeh. If Zeh is referring to the matzah and we start eating matzah on the 15th, then that's why Zeh can't be referring to Rosh Chodesh because we have to eat matzah already. Now, is it during, but it should be during the day. So maybe on the 14th and the day before, or maybe on the 15th. How do we know we do it at night? So that's the drasha we do at the Seder about, Bavurza, at the same time you're eating matzah for the first time. That's all. Now, that's a halachic discussion, but I want to go back to what we had before, back to chapter 12, about this day is a day to remember. The question is, what, is this referring to Pesach for all future generations or Chag HaMatzot? Why would it be referring to Pesach? Because this is summarizing what we just said. We did Pesach in Egypt, and this day of bringing the Pesach is a day to remember, celebrated forever. Or is it referring to what's coming up in Pasuk Tetvav? It's a machloket among the commentators. Now, here's the difficult part. I understand Pesach every year, but now we're told, eat matzah for 7 days. Shivat yemi matzot tochelu. Get rid of your chametz, okay? Because anyone who eats chametz is cut off from his people from the first day of the 7th day. Now, if you read this carefully, the main holiday is not eating matzah. The main holiday is not having chametz. I'm going to read a couple more psukim to prove it. There's no doubt that when you read this psukim carefully, it's more important not having chametz than eating matzah. Now, on the first day of these 7 days, you have a day of gathering. And the 7th day of a day of gathering, there's 2 Yom Tov, first day and 7th day. Don't do any work on those days except when it comes to cooking, because it's a holiday. Okay? And then Yud Zayin, Ushmartem et haMatzot, because you have to eat matzah for these 7 days. Watch them carefully. Because on this very day, ki be'etzem ha'yom hazeh, hotzeiti et tzivotechem eretz Mitzrayim, I took your nation, your hosts, out of Egypt on this day. And therefore keep this forever. Now, what's problematic here about Pasuk Yud Zayin? It says, keep this holiday of eating matzo for 7 days, because on this very day, God took you out of Egypt. Who can tell me what's problematic about this?
It doesn't say Pesach, it says matzot.
It's for sure. But what's the reason why we're keeping matzot? Because what happened on this day?
It took us out.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that?
We haven't left yet.
We haven't left yet. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We haven't left yet. We don't know what day we're leaving. If this commandment was given after we left Egypt, it would make a lot of sense. And why eating matzah? What's matzah have to do with leaving Egypt? Once we leave Egypt and Russia, it makes sense. But this pasuk doesn't make sense here. Everyone agree?
Yeah.
So some people want to say it's avar, b'mkom latid. It's like, it really means I will take you out of Egypt. But say so. Why make it past tense? And again, after God took us out of Egypt and we were rushed out and we had to bake our dough, it makes sense to go and say, that's why God took you out of Egypt. But it doesn't make sense to command this before we left Egypt, because it sounds like in the story of Egypt, when we read it, it sounds like an almost an incidental thing that happened. Not exactly part of God's plan. So again, I'll leave that as a question as well. Now, if this wasn't clear enough, Moshe continues. On the first day, in the first month, Barishon, on the 14th of the month, in the evening, we start eating matzah until the 21st of the month. Got that? Now, here's another pasuk saying we have to eat matzah for 7 days. Now, who remembers what the rabbis say about eating matzah for 7 days? Let me turn this off for a second. Okay. Will any rabbi tell you you're chayv to eat matzah for 7 days?
No, you just have to refrain from chametz for 7 days.
Yeah, for sure, no chametz, for sure. But just is there any day you have to eat matzah?
Just on the first day.
Now, and that's a chiyuv d'oraita, right?
Yes.
What's the source for that?
Chamish asaf.
No, where's the source that you're only chayv to eat matzah the first night? I need a pasuk if it's a chiyuv d'oraita. It says seven times in Chumash you have to eat matzah for 7 days. The rabbis say you don't have to. They don't know Hebrew?
It's always the ach.
A matzah is more yachluhu.
That's not the rabbinic source. No, that's eating, that's Pesach with matzah.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we have to eat matzah the first night? The rabbis have a pasuk they quote. Don't we remember? That's with Pesach.
Oh.
But for Chagam Matzot, yeah, whoever the user is, says, Be'erv Tuchlu Matzot.
Kimechipazon Yatzata.
No, I need a commandment. I need an imperative form. I need a tivui. And the rabbis say, Be'erv Tuchlu Matzot. That's the source for we're chayv to eat the first night.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agree, right, Rabbi Jay? That's what the rabbis say, isn't it? Now, I want to show you how awesome the rabbis are. Look what they did. Let's go back to the pasuk we just read. Look what happened. Here we are. Be'erf, what's this like? Listen to Pasuk Yudchet. Okay. The rabbis are quoting these three words. Be'erf, tochlu matzot. You see that? They say, that's the chiyuv to eat the first night. Look what they did to this Pasuk. Imshat. On the first month, on the 14th in the evening, comma. Got it? Start eating matzah. Until when? Until the 21st in the evening. Part of the pasuk is the 20, what do you call it? For 7 days. What do? They just cut out the end of the pasuk. They say, we're going to read this. On the 14th, be'erv tochlu matzot. On the 14th, going to the evening, on the first month, on the 14th in the evening, going to the 15th, eat matzah. And they don't read the rest of the pasuk. They're onto something really big. That's not pshat of the pasuk, but it's a pshat of chumash. We'll see why. Because the rabbis understand the main commandment is not eating matzah. The main commandment is getting rid of your chametz. I'm going to say that again to make sure it's understood. When you read this, the rabbis understand you're eating matzah because you can't eat chametz. It's not, I'm not eating chametz to make sure I eat matzah. The main commandment of Chag HaMatzot is no chametz.
They're putting a sof pasuk there and starting the next pasuk as ad yom and continuing as a run on.
No, they're just ignoring the end of the pasuk.
No, they're making the end of the pasuk in the beginning of the next pasuk.
And then explains it in pasuk yutet. I mean, and therefore,
yeah. Pasuk, ad yom ha'echad de'esrim
la'chem. No, have star. Very good.
Yamim sa'or.
You're right.
What
you're saying is they're putting a sof pasuk here.
Right.
And now pasuk yutet starts here until the 21st. Best for 7 days, you won't have sore in your house, because if you ate machmetzet during these 7 days, you're chayev karet. Very good. I can read it that way as well. Now, what are they saying? They're saying the main commandment is no chametz for 7 days. And why? And then to emphasize it, the last time, kol machmetzet lo tochelu, and therefore instead eat matzah. But there's no doubt from pasuk tetzav on, The main commandment here, eat matzah for 7 days. From the first day, get rid of your sa'or. Because you can't eat chametz during these 7 days, from the first day to the seventh day. Have a holiday to market, make a special yom tov, keep the matzot as well, but the main thing is, no chametz. And when you're chayv karet, there's something covenantal. Now, because it's late already, let me get to my main point. What I want to claim is, I want to try to explain why is the first commandment, the main commandment, getting rid of your chametz more important. I'm going to give you two quick proofs that why the rabbis understand the main commandment is getting rid of your chametz and not eating matzah. Number one, the fact that you're chayv karet for having chametz. Number two, look how Moshe tells this law after we leave Egypt in chapter 13. How does chapter 13 begin? Chapter 13 begins as follows. One second, my camera's falling apart. Okay, there we go. Chapter 13 begins as follows. God tells Moshe, Kadesh Kol B'chor, but before we do this, Moshe has to tell the people about Chag HaMatzot. V'yemar Moshe La'am, Zechor et hayom hazeh asher yatzata b'mitzrayim mibeit avodim. Remember this day that you left Egypt? Now it's the 15th in the morning. We just left Egypt already in chapter 13. Because God took you out of Egypt b'chozek yad, with a strong hand. V'lo yechal chametz. How do we remember the day God took us out of Egypt? It would make more sense to say, eat matzah. Instead, it says, how do you remember the day you left Egypt? By not having chametz. And then it goes into detail. It's in the spring. When you come to Israel, do this avodah. What avodah is referring to? Is that Pesach or eating matzah? It's unclear. Eat matzah for 7 days. 7 day of holiday. And matzot should be eaten for 7 days. And you can't see or own any chametz. Or sa'or in all your borders. And then explain why to your children. So here also, it seems like chametz, the main thing is that 7 days not having chametz. And to put icing on the cake, even though cake is chametz, in Sefer Dvarim, in chapter 16, we have the exact same thing happening. Remember Shmor Chodesh Aviv, Asita Pesach Hashem Elokecha in chapter 16, the Shosh Regalim? Because God, again, Chodesh Aviv Yatzatam and God took you out of Egypt. Bring Pesach. Tzona Bakar. And when I bring Pesach, what's it say? Lo tachal lav chametz. Got that? Instead, eat matzah for 7 days. Lechem oni. So you remember this every day of your life. But again, what comes first? No chametz. And icing on top of the icing. If I go back to Shmot, when we have Pesach again in, with the Shlosh Regalim in Sefer Shmot in chapter 23, when we have all the Shlosh Regalim together, after Shlosh Pamim Bashana Yerecho Shulchan Pasek Yud Zayin, what are we told? Lo tizbach al chametz dam zivchi. That's a law. Reshit Bikrat Batcha is a law for Shavuot. And therefore, this is a law for Chag HaMatzot, for Pesach. It says, lo tizbach al chametz dam zivchi. That seems to be referring to Pesach. And therefore, you have to get rid of your chametz before the Pesach. What's our custom? What do we do? Why is it so important to burn your chametz on the 14th in the morning? It's not just a gzera. We have to remember, Ach B'Yom Rishon Teshbitu. Why? Let me just give my answer because I'm going to run out of time. The answer is, when we're thanking God for our redemption, it's not just saying thank you, it's acting thank you. And if we don't get rid of our chametz, we're not worthy of redemption. What's the idea? The goal is not redemption. Redemption is cup number 3. The goal is becoming God's people. To become God's people, you have to get rid of your bad behavior. The second I understand chametz as a symbol of bad culture, in that time, Egyptian culture. If you remember, Egypt was known for its bread making. I told you there's a minister in the government of Egypt in charge of baking. Remember the Sarofim who had his dream? But if you know, even in Wikipedia, Egypt was known for bread making. They were experts in bread. They discovered fermentation. They discovered beer. They invented beer. They were known for fermentation, the greatest bread makers. They were known for that. Israel was known for its wine. Egypt was known for its bread. If Egyptian culture is evil, especially the way they mistreated a migrant population and the way they're behaving and misusing their power, chametz becomes a symbol of bad culture. Maybe I should bring one more pasuk to prove it from Vayikra Yudchet. Where's Vayikra Yudchet? Sefer Vayikra. Oh my gosh, here we go. Sefer Vayikra, we're going to read this at Minchan Yom Kippur. We're going to read it in 2 weeks in Shul as well. What are we told? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Bnei Yisrael in chapter 18 of Vayikra, Ani Hashem Elokechem, that's the Ten Commandments, or that's the Brit at Sinai. And therefore, don't act like Egyptians, and don't act like the Canaanites. Don't follow their customs. Don't follow their mannerisms. Instead, follow my laws. Change your culture from Egyptian to Jewish. Why? Ani Hashem Elokechem. Therefore, keep my laws, which will help you live. Ani Hashem then talks about all the things you can't do, all the arayot. And then we're told that's what the people were doing, why I punished Egypt, why I punished Canaan, etc. Don't act like them. Not because they're not you, because their behavior was bad. I don't think I was sharing my screen, was I? I didn't share my screen, did I? Why don't you tell me? Okay.
Correct.
Show me again. I'll do it again. My mistake. What happened here? Back to my screen. Wait, I wasn't sharing my screen. What happened to you, Yudchet? My computer's all mixed up. What happened to my Tanakh? Here we are. I posted to him. I thought I had it open. I'm going to step back here. Exodus chapter. Oh, that's why I didn't show. Okay, Leviticus 19. 18, I'm sorry. Kamaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, which you lived in, don't do, and don't act like the people in Canaan. Their behavior was bad and evil. Don't follow their ways. Instead, keep my laws. And therefore, there's a need to get rid of our bad behavior. Now, before we left Egypt, if you remember in Yechezkel, in chapter 20, when the people are asking Yechezkel, they want redemption. They want to go back to Israel. They've been in exile for 7 years already. It's the 7th year since they left, since they were exiled with Eliakim. 4 years before the Korban, the 7th year of their exile, they sit in front of Yechezkel. They drosh to beg God for redemption. And God tells Yechezkel, tell them, tell the elders of Israel, this is the word of God. Hadidrosh otiyatam ba'im. Are you coming to ask God what God can do for you? Can God redeem you? God says, no. God swears, I'm not going to care of you. I'm going to tell you what you have to do for me. Okay? Instead, be judgmental of them, God tells Yechezkel. Tell them how bad they've been and why they don't deserve to be redeemed yet. Tell them about their toivot. See the same word we had in Vayikra? Tovot avotam odiim. And tell them, I wanted to redeem you coming out of Egypt. I lift up my hand in Egypt saying, Ani Hashem Elokechem, that's Parsha Ba'era. I wanted to bring you to the promised land in the proper way, but what happened? Let's say the Pasuk Zayin. This is the source for this 49 levels of Tumah that you know from the Zohar. V'yamar lehem, ish shikutzeh inav ashlichu v'gilu mitzamati tamo ani Hashem lachichem. Before we left Egypt, before the Makot began, God asked the people, get rid of your Egyptian culture, get rid of your bad ways, get rid of your Egyptian idol worship. Don't defile yourself with that. Why? Ani Hashem lachichem, I'm your new boss. The Amrubi, they rebelled against God. didn't want to listen. Right? No one got rid of their bad ways, okay? And didn't get rid of their Egyptian culture. Okay? And I wanted to destroy them back in Egypt. He came to my anger against them. God was so upset, but God saved us anyhow for the sake of his name and gave us another chance. Then he goes on, I took out to the desert and he messed up again. Basically, he goes on and on, Yechezkel, why they need more time for rehab. They're not ready yet for redemption. God doesn't just need you to pray. He needs you to act properly to be worthy of serving God. So in a nutshell, what's happening is that if we're thanking God for our redemption, we need to remember the purpose of redemption. And symbolically, getting rid of your chametz symbolizes our readiness to accept God as our boss and to follow his mitzvot. Therefore, thanking God for redemption and not being ready and worthy of being redeemed, that's not the way to thank God for redemption. Because you have to remember, you don't remember what happened, but why it happened. And it's meaningless to thank God for saving you if you don't realize the purpose of God saving you and the two-way street of what it means to be God's people. God can be involved in history. He can help you. He can help us. But he'll help us if we're worthy of his help. And therefore, symbolically, getting rid of your chametz means getting rid of your bad behavior. Now, what's bad behavior? Ask your local rabbi. There's different hashkafot of what we have to work on to be better. They're all legitimate, and we can argue about that. But assuming that God wants good behavior, what good behavior he wants, how you prioritize, there's different hashkafot on that. But it's not enough to thank God. In fact, it's counterproductive to thank God for saving you and not realizing the purpose of why God's saving you. God's involved in our history for a goal that we'd be a nation serving him properly by how we behave and how we act and how we talk. If the people are not worthy of that redemption, then there's no point in God helping with the redemption. Therefore, when we thank God every year for the original redemption, we need to remember we weren't worthy the first time, but they had a good excuse back then. But we need to be worthy for it to happen again. That's why some people have the custom of inviting Eliyahu to the Seder. Remember that custom? Why do we invite Eliyahu to the second half of the Seder? Anyone remember why? Who remembers why we invite Eliyahu to the Seder?
Siman Geulah.
For what?
Geulah.
What's Eliyahu going to do for us? He's going to redeem us again?
He's going to foretell the ultimate redemption.
That's what everyone says. Unless you read Tanakh.
I thought it was because he wanted to relinquish his duties at one point. And so they said he would have to come back all the time.
He wants his job back?
Well, no, I think it was sort of a little bit of a punishment that he had to come back all the time because he wanted to relinquish his duties.
Okay. So let's see what Tanakh says.
I thought it was because he did not believe that the Bnei Yisrael could do tshuva and Hashem is
teaching him a lesson.
Okay,
it could be. But let's see what Tanakh says. It's the last sukkim of what? Of Navi, the end of Malachi. The end of Navi. Okay? Zikru Torah Moshe Avdi.
Shabbat HaGadol.
That's right. We read this not by chance for Shabbat HaGadol. Remember the instructions God gave us through Moshe. Remember your commandments, your covenant to be God's people, and you need to keep the commandments. And therefore, I'm going to send to you Eliyahu Navi before I bring redemption. Okay? Not to announce redemption. What's he going to do? Veshiv levavot abanim velev abanim alavotam. To get us to do tshuva. Avot abanim, that's God with, remember, banim atem l'Hashem elokechem. We're like children to God. Eliyahu's job is to prepare us for Mashiach, to be worthy. God wants to bring redemption. If we're not worthy, it can be ugly. Remember Amos? Yom Hashem can be a terrible day if we're not worthy of it. And therefore, instead of being redeemed, we can be punished. And therefore, to be worthy of redemption, he says what? Otherwise, this we don't sing. Because when God comes and we're not worthy, it'll be disastrous. It can be like all the Tochachot talk about. God's not sending Eliyahu to redeem us. God's sending Eliyahu to prepare us for redemption. Isn't that Pshat in Tanakh? It's Pshat of every Tochacha. It makes so much sense. Therefore, Eliel, inviting Eliel, if we thank God, I think what we do every day in Shemoneh Esrei, we know God can redeem us. We pray for Gula, don't we? We pray Goel Yisrael. Right? And we pray for Kabbash Shofar Gadol Lechirotenu. We pray for Yushai Mecha Brachim Tashuv and Esenach David. We know God can do it again. First, we say he did do it. What do we say before Shemoneh Esrei? That it's true that you took us out of Egypt, you say this, you split the sea. And then we say, you did that in the past. But before we say, come and help us again. And then we say, yes, you did it in the past. We know you can. We know you did. We know you can do it again in the future. But will you do it in the future? It's up to us. And therefore, the first thing, before we ask for Gula, we ask to do tshuva, don't we? We ask God for wisdom, chunein dat, to know what's right and wrong, and to want to do better, tshuva, and then for slicha, and then we can ask for our needs. The whole idea of prayer, I told you, we can argue that prayer means to argue. And we're arguing our case with God, we want you to redeem us, but we show God we're worthy of redemption because we're learning from our mistakes, we'll do better next time. God's not this machine, you press a button and if you say magic words, he'll redeem you. God can redeem us, but you have to give God a reason for redemption. If he sees if we're redeemed, we act in a way that will sanctify God, he'll bring redemption. If we're not acting properly, if we're going to make a chilul Hashem, if our behavior is not just and upright, why should God bring redemption again? It'll just be counterproductive. So that's why tefillah, we're arguing our case, but we have to be sincere. And we have to have, and there has to be logic to it. Tefillah has to be transformative. Otherwise, it's idol worship. Just saying magic words and think some magical God's going to come and help you because you said some magic words. That's not Tfilah and Tanakh. Tfilah and Tanakh is arguing your case with God, convincing him why he should come and help you. And therefore, if we thank God for the Exodus in the past and we're praying to God, he can help us again in the future, I'm inviting Eliel to remember Eliel has to get us ready for redemption. I give you an example from Chabad. Some of you, where's that Asher? Asher, you remember. You remember back in the 60s? What did the Babich Rebbe say all the time? Remember he quoted the Biyat HaMashiach? Am I right, Asher? That was the phrase. Be ready. Why? It was after the Six-Day War, the State of Israel, the Six-Day War. Things were going great.
It's still out there. There are billboards all over the place.
Now, how is that misunderstood? Yeah. Not that... Means the Rebbe understood that this is a messianic time period. There's a potential. But he knew the end of Malachi, saying, God's starting a process. You have to be worthy for it to continue. Prepare yourself for Mashiach. Not that I'm Mashiach, but rather, God is bringing redemption. If you want it to be complete, we have to be worthy of his redemption, especially when it's getting close. So there's more obligation to be good Jews. And therefore, that's what he meant by Yitronot. He wasn't saying, I'm Mashiach, I'm coming. He was saying, God's bringing Mashiach, whatever that is, but to make it work, we have to be worthy of it. And therefore, do mitzvot, be nice. That was his big message. It got totally misunderstood that he was saying, I'm the Mashiach. You follow? That's what happened. It's a disaster what happened. But what he meant, he was right on the mark. He knew his stuff, but how it was misunderstood, that's something else. But it wasn't, but every messianic time period, if you read Malachi, can go sour. Remember how most the people are praying, we want Yom Hashem, and he says, Lama lechem Yom Hashem b'choshech v'lo'or. The way you people are behaving, if God comes, you're in big trouble. Because you're not ready for it. And therefore, you understand by getting rid of your chametz is the most important mitzvah. What's the point in taking out for redemption if we don't need it, if we're not ready? And chametz becomes a symbol of idol worship. IDLE and IDOL. And that's why all the laws of chametz are the same laws of Avodah Zarah, aren't they? Down the line. So I'm trying to explain why all of a sudden, as soon as we're told to remember the Exodus, the main commandment is getting rid of your chametz and what it represents. And that's the rabbis are right on the mark. It's not about eating matzah. That's saying thank you. Getting rid of your chametz is acting thank you. And to make sure that's understood, the rabbis downplay eating matzah for 7 days. Of course, it's a kiyum mitzvah, but the main thing is getting rid of your chametz. The idea that I can just thank God for redemption, pray for redemption again, and hope rolling dice will be in the right generation, as opposed to being worthy of redemption. It's up to us. That's a harsh educational message, but it's critical. But it's the biggest message in Chumash. It's every day in Shema. It's all the Tochachot. It's in Parshat Ekev. It's so basic to Chumash. And that's the danger of only talking about redemption and God's our Redeemer. And Eliyahu's going to come and redeem us? No, Eliyahu's job is to help us do tshuva, to be worthy of redemption. God's a Redeemer. And then then that makes Pesach transformative in how we behave as a nation. And that's why every spring we have to remember that theme. And that's why chametz is so important. And that's why if you bring a korban Pesach without getting rid of your chametz, it's like going to the mikveh with the sheretz in your hand. The idea. Okay. That's why Bobby's writing. Chazal say chametz is like Yetzirah. Now again, what's your Yetzirah? You can have 1,000 different hashkafot. You can argue what's the main thing God wants you to do. That's a legitimate argument. And there's different ways of serving God. But whatever's bad in that service of God, get rid of it. And understand and do it the way you think serving God is right, do it the best way you can. So that's, in my opinion, that's the key educational message of the Seder for adults. And that's why Chumash is accenting chametz more than eating matzah. Okay? Now we have a little bit of time left. We have till another 15 minutes, right?
Nachum, can you say 3 or 4 words about, so therefore, why is it Eliyahu? Who's the one who's supposed to come back?
Oh, why Eliyahu? Because Eliyahu tried his best to get the people to do tshuva. And then what you people said, now the report was right. He failed the first time because he was too strict. Remember? And now he wanted to quit. So that's all. Everything you said was right from based on, even Eliyahu learns from his mistakes. Didn't God learn from his mistakes after the flood? Listen to the danger of being too strict in education. What did God do? He brings the flood because he was too strict. And after the flood, he would say, I'm not going to do that again. I was too strict. I'll give man a chance to do tshuva. First luchot, too strict. God has to bring the second luchot, midat rachamim. Eliyahu comes the first time around, way too strict. Stops the rain, gets the people angry at him. They believe in God, but God's supposed to come and help us. Elisha comes and fixes things. Remember? He's Mr. Nice Guy, bringing water. When Eliyahu comes back, he's reformed. Not reformed. Reformed. He's going to use midat harachamim. He's going to be nicer and kind. That's an educational approach. But you see, that's why the way a parent treats a child is much more than a master and a servant. That's why it's avot abanim and not adon al avadav. We're chosen to serve God, but we want our relationship with God to be like a parent-child relationship where no matter how bad things are, there's always room for getting back together again. But we still have expectations to be a good child, not a ben sorel more.
But isn't that both the Brit Milah and the Seder, the Pesach Seder? It's the same, yes. Something about he needs to see that we are really good because he thought we were so bad.
Yeah. We need to prove that we're ready. Like a child needs to prove to his parents, I want to do better now. That's exactly Tehillim Ayin Chet, if you know that mizmor, which we gave a shiur on way back. Now, I went real quick. I'll go through the rest of the landing to show everything I just talked about inside. Let's go back now to open up a chumash. And what are we up to? Here we go. We were doing chapter Exodus again. It's like when I don't have my own. I'm not at my desk. It's harder with the mouse and finding things. Okay. We were in chapter 12. And what happened? We have lots of Chag HaMatzot. Now, because Chag HaMatzot doesn't make sense until we leave Egypt, Moshe, when he calls the people, he only tells them about Pesach. He'll tell them about Chag HaMatzot after we leave Egypt. But listen to how Moshe tells the people about taking the Pesach. Like, Rav Moshe b'nei Lemor, v'yomer lehem, mishchu uchu lechem tzon mishvotem v'shechtu ha-Pesach. Right? What's strange about Pesach of Aleph? Which should say, Chul Lechem Tzon. What's this Mishchu? Anyone remember what Chazal say? Rashi on the spot. You'll take my word for it. Mishchu Yidechem from Avodah Zarah and bring a Pesach. Remember that one? Rashi on the spot. It's before you bring the Pesach, get rid of Avodah Zarah. The Drasha is right on the mark. Remember, Mishchu Yidechem from Avodah Zarah and take the Pesach. Get rid of your bad and then do good. Then we do something symbolic with Agudat Zezal and sprinkling on your homes. Okay? And everyone stays home that night. Remember? Batem altetsu ish mipet mitad boker. Means no one's expecting to leave Egypt that night in the first 2 weeks beforehand. Okay? And this will save you from Makat Bechorot. Barvashem the Gofet Mitzrayim. They'll see the dam. Okay? And God will pass over and protect you. And we won't let the Mashkit come in at your house. So that's last minute instructions to make sure that you don't get injured by Makat Bechorot. And this can save you because you have to show God you're worthy of redemption. You're starting the right. We have a chance to do mitzvot. Now, then it says, keep this thing forever, which is what? When you come to the land of Israel, is that it? Ushmartem et avodah hazot. That means Pesach. It's called avodah. That's interesting, isn't it? Calling this an avodah. Because it's reminding the word Abdei Hashem. It's a symbol, right? Just like a korban later in Vayikra. It's called avodah. Why? It's not that God needs to be fed. We need to show God we're ready to be in his service. We're like his waiter. We're symbolically giving him a meal. We're presenting him a present. But it's for our need to remember that we're Avdei Hashem. And therefore, we call this inaugural family meal in the beginning of the year, we're calling it an avodah. Okay. Now, listen. See the word avodah again? What's this all about? I mean, what's this Pesach about? It's talking about Pesach, not Chag HaMatzot, that's for sure. Explain to him, it says so. Zebach Pesach, Asher Pesach, Al B'tei B'nei Yisrael, Mitzem, B'nei Kvot Mitzem, B'nei Tinu Mitzil. And that's it. And then you'll hear that. Now, that's the answer to what it called, to why we do Pesach. It doesn't say anything about leaving Egypt, does it? Pesach is to remember, and even if God didn't take us out of Egypt that night, we'd have to say thank you and bring Pesach. Now it turns out we left Egypt that night also. That was a last minute decision after Choshech. That was a different show we did one time about, I remember Moshe's in the dark until Choshech. But only on the 14th in the morning, God decides it's over tonight. Maybe he knew ahead of time, but Moshe doesn't find out until the 14th in the morning. And the Choshech would be the last plague. And then B'nai Yisrael do what God said and they bring the Pesach. Now, real quickly, B'chatzi Alayla, we have the story of the Exodus. In the story of the Exodus, what happens? Egypt throws us out to go serve our God. Remember? Paro says, go bless me. Go, didn't say go free. Go serve your God in the desert. That's a different share. But this is the story, the classic story of the Exodus. And because we're rushed out of Egypt, we baked the dough we took out of Egypt as matzot, ki goshum in Mitzrayim. This pasuk we read when we say matzah zu ashuma. But eating matzah reminds us how we were rushed out of Egypt, how we weren't ready for redemption. And because we weren't ready, remember, begam tzeda l'asu lehem? As opposed to in Sefer Yeshua, remember, achinu lechem tzeda? It's going to be daf Torah, I think, that's the first barak in Yeshua. But achinu lechem tzeda, get ready, because we're about to cross the Jordan. This time, hopefully, get it right. But we're remembering, now that God took us out of Egypt, how we weren't ready for redemption, and we had nothing else to eat but the matzot because we were rushed out of Egypt. But that's Chag HaMatzot. Once we're rushed out of Egypt, it makes sense to remember how we left Egypt for 7 days because that's all we ate for 7 days because we were rushed out of Egypt. But does it make sense to command this before we left Egypt? Therefore, only after this whole story is over, we have what he called chapter 13, where Moshe tells the people, remember, the state of the Egypt by not eating chametz and eating matzah for 7 days and explaining why to your children we got to live in Chal. Hope that's clear. Moshe can't command the people about Chag HaMatzot until we leave Egypt. The big question is, why is Chag HaMatzot mentioned in Parshat HaChodesh before we leave Egypt? And that's the key point I'm trying to get across is, if Chag HaMatzot was only remembering that God took you out of Egypt, do it later. If Chag HaMatzot is to remember what makes you worthy of coming out of Egypt, it's the exact same thing as Pesach. Because why am I doing Pesach? To show God I'm worthy of redemption. And why is there an Easter of Chametz Ledorot? To show God we're getting ourselves ready for redemption. And therefore, even though it happened later, Chumash takes the law of Easter Chametz for 7 days and moves it earlier. And for the same reason, we're eating matzah with the Korban, because to remember, matzah is a symbol of anti-Egyptian bread. just like the says, going to be Egyptian God. We're having a thematic Thanksgiving meal, remembering why God's taking us out of Egypt. And therefore,
Egyptians were also known for their beer.
Same thing.
Also famous for the beer. And we also pointedly are not using beer on Pesach. We celebrate Pesach pointedly with wine.
Okay, no, 100%. So that's the that's right. That's why we have wine instead of beer. You're saying you can't do like Kiddush and make you can't do four kosot on schnapps like.
Also because we're talking about the Egyptians were famous for their bread. They were also very famous in the ancient world for their beer.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's fermentation.
I'm saying it's their chametz. It's the same thing exactly. Yeah.
I think it's from grain. Don't they make the beer from grain? It's grain alcohol.
Yeah, but the bread is way more important. The beer is secondary.
Fermented. It's fermented grain.
Beer is secondary. That's not the point.
It's the problem.
Yeah. And it says by chance that beer can sometimes lead to bad behavior as well. So instead of overeating. Now, sooner or later, like on Shavuot, you can bring chametz. You know, when you're really ready and doing well, you can have a little chametz. But in general, chametz is not allowed in the mikdash. Kol sar v'chol devash. We say with simplicity. But to summarize, it doesn't make sense for God to command Chag HaMatzot before we leave Egypt, but Chumash purposely brings it earlier and juxtaposes it to Pesach, because the reason for Pesach and the reason for Isur Chametz stems from the same need to be worthy of redemption. Now, Moshe can only command the people after we left Egypt, because it won't make sense to them before we leave Egypt. But in Parshat Lechodesh, it's already mentioned earlier, to tie together the theme of Pesach is being ready for redemption, and not feeding God, but rather are showing ourselves that we need to get ready for redemption. Therefore, I need to have a conversation. I have to have a family meal and talk about our future and our values. And that's how education begins. And that's how the Jewish home begins. Now, one of the most strange things, and we'll have to do this already next week properly, is at the end of chapter 12, out of nowhere, we have a parsha that belongs to earlier. Let's take a look at it. At the very end of chapter 12, what happened to it? Did we end the story of the Exodus with? We end the story of the Exodus with. We baked the batzek. We baked the dough coming out of Egypt. Matzah. Remember, that's why we eat matzah, to remember that event. And then we summarize, it's been 400 years and 430 years since we came down to Egypt. And after 30 and 400 years, on that very day, Dakar out of Egypt, Lel Shimurim Hu, and this Alayla, kept for God forever. These are the famous concluding psukim, which clearly relate to Brit Ben Avtarim. God fulfilled Brit Ben Avtarim, like he promised Avraham Avinu. Then, out of nowhere, we get more laws for Pesach. What's it say? B'yomer Hashem Moshe. Zot kukata Pesach, ko ben nechar lo yachabo. Now, we'll look at these laws. What are they? When Pesach is only for the Jewish people, not for someone not circumcised. Like, not just nechar, but ko ben nechar, a non-Jew. Later will be include someone without a rel, but ben nechar means only a member of the covenantal nation can join in Pesach, because it's a national renewal of our commitment to be God's people. And if you have an eved, you have a servant, and he wants to be part of your household, first you have to do, basically convert him, and then he can eat in the Korban Pesach. But a temporary worker who's not part of your household and not there forever, you can't eat it, because it's only for the Jewish people. We have to eat it in the same home together, again, building the house, nothing, don't take it outside, you can't break bones, basically eat it with respect and as a family group. And everyone, the whole nation of Israel, has to do it. Kol da'i Yisrael yasu oto. They have a strange law about topic in itself. If someone wants to convert, if there's a stranger in your land, and he wants to bring, not he did bring Pesach, he wants to bring Pesach, first he has to convert. First he has to do Brit Milah. And then he can come and join it. And then he'll be like a citizen. On the other hand, anyone not circumcised can eat it. They'll sign up one person, the entire household has to. Only people who did Milah and converted can join Pesach, because it's for the nation. But once he does convert, then he said, Ger gar b'tochachem. I think we did that year on stranger. We did a whole series on that last year or 2 years ago. So the same law applies to a stranger and to the citizen, again, this is a ger who converted, a ger gam b'toch hachem, because even though he didn't leave Egypt, but because he joined the nation, it's though he left Egypt, and he has the same laws and complications as an Israel. Now, then it says, B'nei Yisrael do, this is God commanded Moshe and Aaron, that's what they did. This has to be before we left Egypt, right? So for some reason, this smaller, for some reason, this entire section here, from Mem Gimel here, this whole section here belongs in Parshat HaChodesh, doesn't it? The laws of what's called Chukat HaPesach had to have been given before we left Egypt, the need to do Rila beforehand, and who can eat it, and how you eat it. These laws apply to future generations as well, but they also apply to the Pesach in Egypt. And this belongs, this whole section belongs earlier. Agreed? This, had this been in Parshat HaChodesh, in the beginning of chapter 12, it would make perfect sense. On the other hand, the last part of Parshat HaChodesh, that belongs after we left Egypt. Notice, all I need to do is switch two parshiot around. If I take this section here, these five, six psukim about Chukot HaPesach, and move them earlier to the Perek, to where? To, in verse 14. This day should be day to remember, do it forever. And then eat matzah, I'm sorry, and before and even. All the laws of kachot tochloto and shechting it, the laws of milah before Pesach, and babay techa tochal, not to break any bones, belongs in Parshat HaChodesh, in the first 13 psukim, and the idea do it for dorot belongs in the next set of psukim. So, if I would put Chukat HaPesach right here, before Pasuk Tedvav, this section over here, that's where Chukot HaPesach belong, and these laws belong after we left Egypt, in the end of chapter 12. What Chumash seems to have done, we switched two parshiot around. This section here, verses 15 to 20, belongs after we leave Egypt, because it says so. It says, Ki Betzem Hayom Hazeh. So again, remember, keep this. Because on this very day, I took you out of Egypt. This will make much more sense at the end of chapter 12. So Chukat HaPesach, the end of chapter 12, belongs here, because it's before we leave Egypt. For a thematic reason, Chumash takes this parsha that belongs later, this one, these two can belong later. We moved them here to emphasize the need to get rid of your chametz to be worthy of future redemption. And then why did we take Chukat HaPesach and move it later? I want to suggest is that that's tying together Brit Milah and Brit Ben Abtarim. Because the theme of the last three lines in the story of the Exodus, it's been 430 years since we left Egypt. That means God fulfilled Brit Ben Abtarim. And if you're going to thank God every year for Brit Ben Abtarim, the first thing you have to do is Brit Milah. And those are the two things in Sefer Bereshit, which we'll have to do properly next time. We'll go over these laws of Chukat HaPesach properly. But what I want to claim is that I'm saving this for the grand finale, even though these laws had to be given earlier, before we left Egypt. Chumash is using it as an epilogue to the Exodus story. But again, that's what's happening. I want to suggest the reason why. If Brit Ben Abtarim represents God's involvement in our history, watching historical events and redeeming us, and Brit Milah talks about a personal commitment to be God's people. I'm your God, you're my people. But B'Shem Elokim, in a more natural way. And I want to call that more of a personal commitment to be God's people and to act properly. Remember, Telech Lefanav Yatamim comes together with Brit Milah. It's not enough to thank God for our national redemption. To be worthy of thanking God for national redemption, we have to have individual commitment. And the idea, again, I'm not sure if this is right. This is my understanding, is that Chumash wants to juxtapose Brit Milah with Brit Ben Abtarim. So now that God fulfilled Brit Ben Abtarim the first time around, we have to thank him every year for that. But then we're told the special law, to be worthy of thanking God for Brit Ben Abtarim, you have to be committed to Brit Milah. And therefore, Kol Arel Doyachabo. It's only for the Jewish people, and I need Brit Milah to do it. And what's special about Brit Milah and Korban Pesach, those are the two mitzvot aseh, that if you don't do them, the consequence is Chayv Karet, you're cut off from the covenant. Not only that, there are the two only unique conversations between God and Avram Avinu. Remember? I mean, sorry, the two britot, my mistake. The two britot they include conversations, but there's the two britot between God and Avraham Avinu. Remember, the first brit is chapter 15, brit ben Aftarim. The other brit with Avraham is brit milah, ke one b'shem yud kevav, ke one b'shem Elokim. But these two britot are the essence of our nationhood. Now, when we come out of Egypt, they both come together. But God saves us both because of brit ben Aftarim and brit milah. Remember in Parsha Va'era? Let me just show you real quick. And we'll end the share with this. Where are we? In chapter 6 in Devarim. We know this from before. I mean, 6 in Shmot. Remember, God tells Moshe, Ani Hashem. I appeared to Avraham Misach with Kel Shaddai. That's Brit Milah. But I didn't make myself known with miraculous ways with Shem Yudke Vavke. Here. V'gam ha-kimoti et briti itam. L'tadam Eretz Kanan. That's all the wording for Brit Milah. Shagarba, Lakimoti et Briti and Eretz Kanan. That's all. God established Brit Milah with our vote. But Gamani Shamati et Nakapani Sar Shemitzayim Ba'abidim Otam. Beskor Briti, that has to be Ben Abtarim, Babdu Vinu Otam. So, we come out of Egypt. We're God's fulfilling both Britot, both Brit Milah and Brit Ben Abtarim. Again, Brit Milah on the personal level and Brit Ben Abtarim on the national level, on the historical level. And therefore, Tal Bnei Israel, Ani Hashem, I'm fulfilling Brit Ben Aftarim, Votzeiti Etchem, Vitzalti Etchem, Vegalti Etchem. In order to fulfill Brit Milah of Har Sinai, V'lachachem Lilam V'tilchem L'Elohim, L'Elohim L'Elohim, that's the Brit of Brit Milah. And then you know that we're the same God. The God who took you out of Egypt is the God also who's bringing you to Har Sinai. And then you come to land that I promised your forefathers, and I promised the land, both in Milah and both Brit Ben Aftarim. And therefore the two Brit all come together. Now that God fulfilled Brit Ben Aftarim, I think as Chumash is now inserting as an epilogue, the need to fulfill Brit Milah to be worthy of thanking God for Brit Ben Aftarim. I'm not sure if that's right, but that's my understanding why Chumash is out of place and switches the two around. And that happens over and over again in Chumash, where Parshiot are out of chronological order for thematic reasons, because that's already a class in methodology. So, oh wait, lots of things in the chat, and my time is up. And let's take a quick look. Chat.
You're looking, Menachem. So yeah. These two little parshiot are bookends, and they are surrounding a central point, which is whatever's in between them. That the Mishku, and then the Leo Pesach, the Chatzi Halayla, and then the Exodus. So, like those three little paragraphs are the middle between these two book-ending things.
Yes,
so
exactly.
They are separated.
The two Britot are a thing, and that's right. The meaning of Hashem Hu Elokim. It's all the same God.
That's like a little chiasty.
Yeah. For a change. Now, for Chumash being chiastic for a change and being out of order for a change for thematic reasons. You think, you know, it's so consistent, you think that there's the same author. You think two different, if you know. Okay, so this is from Rabbi J. Rabbi J has to leave early. Okay, he apologizes. He had to go to the airport. And, oh, so we didn't have anything, no other thing. That was, I had a long chat with Rabbi who was writing that he had to go to the airport. So I probably have to announce something. Yeah, okay, so Rabbi J apologizes he had to leave early, but a reminder to next week we have the Yimeyun, and I have the honor of teaching the section of Hariani Kibet Shivim Shana, because I'm almost there this year. So I figured out the topic I picked. So we'll see you next week, and everyone we should pray sure.
Aren't you supposed to also remind us that there's Dr. Benny?
Dr. Benny, yeah,
he's
hour, yeah.
Here, and he's going to start teaching in what, a half an hour? Yes.
About that, yeah. And I think, what topic is he doing today?
Kuf Dalad,
I thought he was going to do Haggadah again. I guess he'll continue in Tehillim.
I don't know.
Okay. He's doing Borchei Nafshi, I think, isn't he?
That's what he started last week, and he said he was going to continue it.
I guess he'll continue. Okay. I don't see him this week because I'm in America. He's still in. Actually, he's in Switzerland, I think. Or Germany, I think. I mean, he's teaching today, but I'm not sure if he's in the country. I don't know if he came back before. I know he wasn't on Lushwood on Friday. But that's a long story.
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead.
One quick question. If the people need to have Brit Milah to to get to go out of Egypt. Why does the whole issue of the Arab world fit in with that? Do they all have Brit Milah?
Okay, so I'll explain your question and I'll give you an answer, which I think, I'm not sure if I'm right, but how I understand it. In the Midrash, we blame Erev Rav for everything wrong, don't we? Ketego, Erev Rav. That's Midrashic. In Pshat, Erev Rav is only mentioned once when we leave Egypt, right? And they're coming with us to watch us. Everyone, if you remember the story, everyone's eager that we serve our God a 3-day distance in the desert. Remember that? Super eager. And they can't wait for us to do it. And that's why they're following us. They're not converting. It's not Darvet Amrits Mikyadim. Even that, I'm not sure what that means. They're converting in Mikyadis there. They're following us. They want to see us sacrifice to our God and stop the plagues. That's clearly what's happening, right? That's what they're doing. Now, in the meantime, we go back to Egypt, don't we? And Pharaoh chases us and there's a big war. In my opinion, they all left before the war. Why would they stay for Kriyat Yam Suf? As soon as, when the Egyptians are coming, we freak out. But the Egyptians, why wouldn't they go back home? There's a war coming up. They're not going to stay. They're never mentioned again, the Arab Rab. There's Asaf Suf, that's something else. That's a group within Am Yisrael, Amshah. As opposed to Bnei Yisrael, but that's a din and it's less Mabibar. But the Arab Rab is never mentioned again. And there's a good reason why they're following us. But in my opinion, the second we go back towards Egypt and go to the desert and we don't sacrifice our God right away, and then the Egyptian comes with their whole army and we think we're all about to die. If I was the Arab Rab, I would have left. If I was probably a Jewish man, I would have chickened out and left also. But there's no reason for them to stay and they're never mentioned again. Now, midrashically, it's always good to blame, you know, to blame someone else when things go wrong. But I don't think that's shot in the Chumash. So then answers the question. No, my answering question, I think it's not a question, but they didn't do Brit Milah because they didn't become Jewish. Already? Okay. Asher, you had a question up or just you?
I wanted to add something, but it's way too late. The emphasis on Seor is highly to the point. All of the Egyptian gods and goddesses, they all revolve around the Nile River, and all of the plagues directly deal with them. Because the Nile River was the source of all of their wealth and all of their power, and made Egypt the first and for a long time the only empire in the ancient world.
That's the story. That starts with the story of stone, where Lot sees his eyes, Keres Mitzrayim, Kikar Den, Keres Mitzrayim, Kigan Hashem.
There was no other, and they never, did Mitzrayim ever invade any other place? They didn't have to.
They need to until Babylonian time.
Yeah. Hmm?
Until the battle of
Karkamish. Tried to once. Yeah. Baron Nichol.
In Karkamish, that's it. And they lost.
Yeah. And that was way later, and there was good reason.
They don't need to. They got enough. I mean, it was big enough taking southern Egypt with northern Egypt.
The whole
United Kingdom. Was, I agree with you.
So Seor is the other, but there's also a reason for Dumb.
Because that hits the nail.
What was the central worship? What was the central focus of Egyptian ritual and culture and religion? You see it in all of the tombs of the pharaohs, everything. It's all about death.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood is a symbol of life.
Yeah.
So that's the second thing. That's anti-Egypt.
That's
Egypt is the economy, but Egypt is the ritual and the worship.
You see the death with the pyramids all the time. That's all they care about.
Yeah, everything. I've been studying.
The title that shares Pharaoh's in denial.
He was, because I've been reading the story of King Tutankhamun and his tomb. He's 700 years after Yetziat Mitzrayim. And their attitudes and their worship and their mode of behavior hasn't changed iota. It didn't change. Maybe they kicked us out and agreed that our God is more powerful than their gods, but it didn't change their attitude towards their gods.
It didn't change ours too much either.
Well, it's supposed to.
The Red Sefer Bamidbar didn't work so good for the first generation.
Yeah, for the first generation, yeah. But that's what why
it
we're supposed
takes a long
to
time, yeah.
Keep away with, from the Seor, and we're not allowed to eat blood.
Yeah, there's, you're right. There's just everything's full of symbolism. But I think the key idea is that symbolism goes back to the underlying theme of Chumash. We're chosen to serve God, and redemption comes with commitment. And without that commitment, there's no point in taking God for redemption. For adults, for children, maybe yes, to get started. But it's such a key educational message, which I don't think is emphasized enough on Pesach, but that's a whole different story. Okay, anyway, we'll stop here.
Thank you, Shavuot Tov. Thank you.
Okay, have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.